Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In these times, a common misconception which prevails amongst Muslims regarding the Islamic political system is that the establishment of an Islamic state is the obligation of every individual who is living in that country. For example, if the Islamic laws, they are not prevalent in that country and Islam is not dominant in that country, then it is the obligation, it is mandatory upon each Muslim citizen to strive for the creation of an Islamic order, to strive for the implementation of Islamic laws, to strive for the creation and for the implementation of what Islam says regarding the collectivity. Now, this duty or this obligation has been derived from a particular verse of the Quran. There are, of course, a number of verses. However, the primary verse from which people derive this responsibility relates to a particular context, and it has absolutely a different story to tell. However, I'll clarify that later on. First, let me read the verses which people think that they say that Muslims must strive to create an Islamic state wherever they are independent. And the words are, they are in Surah Saf. They say, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ وَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. It is he here refers to God himself. It is he who has sent his messengers with guidance and the religion of truth, that he may proclaim it over all religions, even though the idolaters may detest this. So according to this verse, the Prophet himself, people say, the proponents of this view say that he undertook a whole struggle in his own times, and he established the Islamic state of Medina. And therefore, while following him, we Muslims must also strive to establish an Islamic state wherever we are living. Now, it needs to be clarified that this verse has been interpreted, unfortunately, out of its context and out of the whole context in which such verses are generally mentioned in the Quran. The Quran mentions a specific law regarding the messengers of God, and that particular law is that the reward and punishment which is going to take place in the hereafter has also took place in the times of the messengers of God, and they actually rewarded and punished their direct addressees and their foremost addressees, so that this lesser reward of judgment, these lesser days of reward and judgment could become a corroboration to that greater reward of day of reward and judgment, which is going to take place later on. So the Almighty, in the times of the messengers, of his own messengers, he took the matters in his own hand, and after communicating the truth to the foremost addressees, to the Prophet, to the Rasul, he punished them through the Prophets and through the companions of the Prophets. And of course, the Prophet here is used as a word specifically to mean the Rasul or the messengers of God. These messengers of God actually were deputed by the Almighty to establish, to prevail over their enemies. And the Quran says that it has been ordained at all costs that the messengers of God, they are bound to prevail over their enemies. And this has various forms. At times, the Almighty, through various calamities, destroys the opponents of the messengers of God. And other times, the messengers of God themselves, for example, the messenger himself and his own companions, they would destroy their enemies, as was the case with the Prophet Moses, and of course was the case with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last time that this lesser day of judgment took place was in the times of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this verse of the Quran is nothing but a mention of that law of Risala which I just alluded to. And as per this verse, you'll see the final words are وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. The word al-mushrikun refers specifically to the idolaters of Arabia of those times, which means that this verse says that the religion of truth with which the Prophet was sent with to make it dominant over other religions refers to the other religions which are prevalent in Arabia at that time. So in other words, this verse has nothing to do with any religious responsibility of Muslims in general. It had a very specific connotation. It deals with the religious responsibility which was imposed on the companions of the Prophet and on the Prophet himself, because they were supposed to prevail their own selves, because the Almighty himself had taken upon himself that in the times of the messengers of God, truth shall prevail over the enemies, and reward and punishment shall take place in this world, so that this reward and punishment could become a substantiation to the reward and punishment which is going to take place in the hereafter. Now, having said that, the important thing to note is that if this verse is understood in its proper context, what comes to mind is that the establishment of Islamic State is not a religious obligation of Muslims in any cost. However, of course, out of our own natural desires, we can opt for creating an Islamic state. That would, of course, be something which is very congenial, something which is very allowed. However, we cannot call it an obligation. We cannot call it that it is something which is mandatory upon Muslims to establish. This is something which may be our own desire, our own wish, and of course is something which is very desirable. And we should go for such tasks. We should go for establishing an Islamic State wherever we can as a collectivity. However, the only thing which is being negated here is that it is no religious obligation. The verse which people think that the verse which makes this a religious obligation has an entirely different context. It has an entirely different background. And as I said, that verse specifically deals with the law of Risala and with the messengers of God. It has nothing to do with ordinary Muslims. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.